Welcome to Inner Bliss. Success on the outside doesn't always mean happiness on the inside. Hi, I'm Quinlay Erickson, host of Inner Bliss. I am a blind psychotherapist with over 15 years of experience guiding countless individuals from Canada to Vietnam to make powerful changes in their lives. Whether you are a high-achieving professional or simply seeking inner peace, I'm here to help you transform your outer success into true inner fulfillment. So join me every other Sunday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time on BBS Radio. To learn more about my work, visit quinlay.com or innerbliss.ca. Tune in. Let us embark on your journey to inner bliss together. Hello and welcome to Inner Bliss. This is our first episode on Inner Bliss, a space where we transform external success into true inner fulfillment and happiness. And so I'm Quinlay Erickson, and this is my husband, Hansley Erickson. So I am a therapist in Canada. And Hans is a coach also in Canada. You want to say hi, Hans?
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, so I'm very happy to have Hans on the show with me. He's going to ask me some questions. And today we're going to talk about navigating relationships for those of you who are successful professionals, right? And so the dynamic of that, how is that? Even though relationships, you know, the foundations are the same, right, in romantic relationships, in love and intimacy. But for people who are more successful, like yourself, then there are some things to consider in the dynamic. But first of all, let me share a little bit with you about who we are. So I'm Quinlay Erickson. I am a therapist who is blind. I was born in Vietnam with perfect sight, and I lost my sight when I was 2 years old. So in Vietnam, in the 80s, blind people were considered quite disadvantaged, even now. Right, so I could only go to school at the time maximum of for 5 years, so where they would teach like very basic skills, right? And you know, 5 years learning, you know, basic math, basic alphabets and things like that. They might teach blind people some kind of skills. So in that kind of setting, my family, especially my mom, thought that it would just be not good for my future. Because I remember one of my memories was in Vietnam when I was about 8 years old, and I was outside with my mom, and I heard this man singing and playing guitar, and he was begging on the street. And so my mom told me that he was blind like me. And so blind people in Vietnam at the time, not much opportunities for career, right, or education. So a lot of them would be begging on the streets or selling lottery tickets on the street. And so then my mom decided to leave Vietnam. And at the time, not like the way it is now, the way that we could leave Vietnam, because we didn't have relatives in countries like Vietnam, Canada or the U.S., so that means that we would have to illegally escape Vietnam. And so that's what we did. And that was an illegal thing to do. And so if the communist government caught us, then we would be put in prison. And actually, when I was 8 years old, I was in prison for about 2 weeks because we tried to leave Vietnam illegally. And leaving Vietnam at the time, we had to go by boat. And so if you could imagine, we were on a boat of 126 people. So all crammed in, kind of like a fishing boat, not very big at all. So we would sit in the boat, kind of like sardines, you know? And so 126 of us, we left on a dark night on the boat. So, and the reason I'm telling you this, because so that you have an idea of the context where I came from and why success is important to me, but not just success externally, but true success, you know, a holistic kind of success. And I will talk more about what success means for me and hopefully for you. So when we were escaping on the boat, we were on the Pacific Ocean, and after 3 days, the engine of the boat broke. So it started to just drift endlessly on the Pacific Ocean. And so food and water started to run out. And so we then started to be totally lost on this huge ocean. You know, the waves were humongous. When we were in Maui a few weeks ago, the waves there were like so big, right?
Yeah.
And it reminded me of, wow, like when I was in the ocean, waves were even bigger, and there were some storms in some night. So that's why, and our boat started to a break. So water started to come in and just rushing in. So we had to do everything we could to take the water out. And my family and I, well, my mom could swim, but I certainly couldn't swim. And a lot of people on that boat couldn't swim either because they were from like the city. So it was really scary. And on, I'm not sure what day, because we were totally lost, you know, maybe the sixth, the fifth day or something like that, we ran into pirates. They were Thai pirates, and they came onto the boat. They robbed jewelries, you know, gold. Because imagine that a lot of people leaving Vietnam, they would sell their properties, things that they had, right? And so then they would buy gold to carry with them, with us. So they robbed a lot of jewelries, and they also sexually assaulted some woman. And I remember my mom was holding me in her arms, right? And she made me sort of like bend my head and hide myself. I was only 9 years old then. She made my sister do the same, and she would make herself quite sick. She wanted to make herself very undesirable so that the pirates wouldn't come close to us. And I remember I sat beside this one girl. She was probably about 13 years old, and she was sitting with her grandma, and a pirate would come and try to pull her into a darker corner so that he could sexually assault her. But the grandma begged this guy. She took out like the picture of like a female Buddhist, right? And so a lot of Thai people, they believe in Buddhism. So seeing that picture, fortunately the guy decided to leave that girl alone. But I remember literally I sat beside her, just like the way Han sitting beside me right now. But fortunately, they weren't real pirates, because typically if they were real pirates, they would actually crash our boat so that the boat would sink and everyone would die so that no one can go after them later. But they weren't real pirates. They were, I think, just fishermen and seizing the opportunity. And so finally they left us alone, and we continued to drift on the ocean. But then on, I don't know, maybe on the seventh day, because we were on the ocean 10 days total, and on the seventh day or 8 days or something, we ran into another ship. And that was, they identified themselves as Germans. And it's interesting because my husband now is German. They rescued us, so they pulled our a boat along the ship, and they took us to Indonesia. And there was another refugee camp there that Vietnamese people, we called themselves asylum seekers at the time. And so we were on that island. And so we had to stay there for 4 years in order to be qualified as refugees, right? From asylum seekers to refugees, because when you qualified as refugees, then you can come to countries like Canada, the US, Australia, those places. And so being in that refugee camp for 4 years, it was also very hard. If you can imagine, every month we would receive 3 cans of sardines, the size of my palm, 3 cans per month, each person, and 4 cups of rice per week. So growing up there for 4 years as a blind person, there wasn't anything for me to do. I would sit on hammock every day, just rocking. I couldn't go to school. I couldn't go out to play like other kids. And hunger just happened almost every day, right? Like how do you survive 3 cans of sardine per month? Think about that, right? Those cans that you could buy in a store. Yeah. 3 of them per month. So hunger and also lack of privacy. We would live in barracks, like if you imagine like those, hands, those long wooden thing, like long, kind of like a long wooden bed that runs from one end to the other, both sides. So each one of us would get, I don't know, maybe 1 meter wide. I don't know, maybe 2 meters. I'm not sure. Right. So each of us would have a little tiny space. And so we would sleep with other people, eat, just basically no privacy. And this is why when I come to Canada now as an adult, freedom is extremely important to me. Being able to be in control. Because as a child at the time, and as a refugee, I didn't have control. So that's why now being empowered, being able to access my inner power and empowering other people to access, to tap into the inner power, very important to me. Being able to be free, being able to control my life is very important to me. And so, yeah, so finally, after 4 years, I could leave that refugee camp and come to Canada. And when I came to Canada, I was about 13, 14 years old. And I went to school for only to grade 2. So then I then started grade 9 in the high school system in Canada. So if you could imagine a grade 2 to grade 9, right? But I also didn't really speak English. My English was very limited. Things like how are you? My name is Quinn. Very basic things. And so it wasn't easy for me to go to high school. And I was in a residential school for the blind. So I had to really speak English all the time, which was a blessing and a curse, right? Because I felt totally lost in that school, being the only immigrant, the only Vietnamese. Speaking English. But I had to, the blessing was I had to learn English very quickly. And can you imagine from that point to now, I'm speaking to you. I do therapy, coaching for other people. So looking back, and that was like exactly 30 years ago, because I came here in 1994, 30 years ago. And looking back, like how far I have gone. And then I went to university. I did, well, actually, I went to college first for 2 years, then did my BA. You know, other people, they would do 3 years, 4 years for BA. It took me 6 years in the regular university. Some people thought, oh, maybe I go to a university for the blind. There's no such thing, you know. And then I went for master's to do counseling psychology. So that was another 3 years. So altogether, I probably was in the education system after high school for about 11 years, I think. Yeah. So now I'm done with school and now I'm about empowering people. So today we will talk about relationships and how to navigate relationships when either both partners or one of the partners very you know, doing very well in the career, but perhaps struggling in the relationship. So you have some questions for me, Hans?
I do, Quinn, and that's an incredible story, that life story of yours, and it's wonderful that you can share that. And I'm sure as we get deeper into the show, you'll share even more of those incredible details. But dealing with your relationship issue, one of the big questions is, why are relationships important for successful people? Why do they matter?
So relationships matter because, so Esther Perel, she's like the relationship expert, and she said the quality of our life is dependent on the quality of our relationships. And the way I see that is the relationship you have with yourself, because the relationship you have with yourself have a huge impact on the relationships you have with others. But the relationship you have with yourself and the relationship you have with the closest people in your life, like say a spouse or your children, I see that as the foundation. If you imagine a house or even a high-rise building, right? And if the foundations are strong, then you can really build a solid house or a high-rise building on that foundation. But if you imagine if you build that on like a shaky foundation, like sand or things like that, then the building can easily collapse. If there's a storm, if there's some strong wind, right? And so that's why I see relationships in our lives serve as the foundation. And from that, our relationship, even though it's not perfect, but after I met Hans, I find that I could do a lot more things in my career. I have achieved so much more in my career, but also like able to make changes in life and able to navigate those changes. So that's why when you have a solid relationship, no relationship is perfect, but if you have a solid relationship and you have a partner that supports you, you can go through a lot of things in life. And but also, can you imagine you go out and you're happy. When you come home, you're even happier. And that happiness, then you're also able to bring that out, right? And but when relationships struggle, they say when relationships are good, you may not notice the powerful impact. But when relationships break down, you can really notice how it affects your career, how it affects your health, and it affects other things in your life. So that's why I see relationships as very important.
That's a great answer to
Anything
that.
you want to add? Any thoughts about that for you?
Well, no, relationships are everything. We're in relationships with people all the time. And so it's very important that you can understand the relationships you're in and just the impact you have in them and just how you impact the dynamic of every relationship by what you bring to it every day, every time.
In Vietnamese culture, there's a saying that in order to govern successfully a nation, you gotta be able to run a successful family. So success starts within the family.
And in that vein, in the family, How do you think that success changes the dynamic of a relationship? You know, and how can couples or families navigate those shifts together?
Right. So in a relationship where one partner is more successful than the other, then there's that sort of power dynamic. There's that shift for power. So the successful person can have a tendency, and I'm guilty with some of that too, hands can probably tell you. The successful person can be a little bit entitled, maybe controlling, maybe a little bit critical, maybe perfectionistic, right? Because the reason that they're successful because they make things happen. So they can be a little bit controlling, a little bit critical. And then so when success happens, so the ego can kind of kick in too for the other person. Right? So I had to really be mindful about being humble, you know, and also feeling a sense of entitlement a little bit, right? For the less successful person, what can happen is they can kind of feel left behind, or they can kind of feel invisible, or maybe outshone by the other person. And over time, they can kind of not speak up as much, right? So then the tips would be to really focus on respecting each other. For the more successful partner to, you know, to be more respectful towards the other person, and also to see that the two people are equal. Another thing can the more successful person can do is to help empower their partner, right? Support them so that they have their own growth as well, and express appreciation, like, you know, like today, Hans helped me set up the camera today, right, and being a part of this show so that we can have an interactive kind of approach, you know. And I would say encourage the other partner to be assertive, to communicate their needs as well, because sometimes they can kind of feel like their needs get lost a little bit. And also, you might ask, well, how do we define success? What do you think, Hans? How for you, what would success means to you?
Well, being able to have a peaceful life, you know, be surrounded by the people I love, the people that love me. You know, monetary success, money's not as important to me as, you know, a peaceful, happy life. And so, you know, some people might look at my life and think, oh, that guy's not very successful, but... I have a beautiful home on the waterfront. I have a beautiful wife, and she likes to work really hard.
And he has a great relationship with his son, who loves him and respects him, tells him, I love you, Dad, a lot of the time, you know, most times.
And so some people might judge it and think I'm not as successful as I could be, you know, because I've done a lot of things. And, you know, I've made a lot of people a lot of money, but I never bothered to make much for myself because I was busy with people, helping them, doing things, coaching them. But success is an interesting topic, you know, and what it means to everybody is different.
That's right.
You know, and so, and sometimes, you know, like Quinn was saying earlier with relationships, when they're good, you don't notice, you know, and when you're successful and you've got good support, you don't notice sometimes. And so,
you can take the other partner for granted, right? But the other partner can support a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's always best if you've got that solid foundation and that you know you can go out there and
do what you want to do. Yeah, take risks, do different things. Yeah. And even if things, I remember hearing from an expert saying, you know, I know, like, even if I fail in my career, I can always go home and my wife will still love me and accepts me. And that's how I feel with Hans, right? Like, you know, sometimes my business can be busy. Sometimes it can be slow, but I can always have him to count on. Right? Yeah. And to me, you know, so a few years ago, I was quite workaholic And I put a lot of effort into external success, you know, my career. I was really driven. And the last year or so, I really reflect on, you know, I want to be holistically successful, holistically abundant. So like making time for my love relationship, for my marriage, right? Making time for my family, talk to my nieces, my sisters, and making time for friendships, making time for health, right? Because when you don't have health, when your health struggles, your career will struggle, or eventually it would, right? It's the same thing relationship. If you imagine like a table four legs, right? If one leg is too long, then the whole table would be wobbly. You can hold up the table, but you know, eventually you get exhausted and the table would give in. Right?
So many analogies in this good story. A lot of them.
I don't know, because to me, I cannot see, but I got to have visual images in my head, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so also encourage the both partners to grow, not just the workaholic successful partner, but the other one to grow as mm-hmm. well, right? Like say, maybe encourage them to, and then the less successful partner can also take responsibility to have growth as well, so that they can talk to each other, you know, growth in health, right?
And that's where you gotta watch your ego if you think you're the more successful person.
I know, right?
You know, and I mean, I've always told people, what do you do? I said, I make the people around me better.
Yes.
And I watch my wife, and I think I've really done that. So, I mean, considering what I do, I think I'm incredibly successful. Whereas other people in this relationship might not view my success as as valuably.
Yeah. So I have to remind myself of that. You know, successful comes in different flavors. Mm-hmm. If anxiety, trauma, life or relationship challenges are holding you back, you deserve a path to healing and peace. Hi, my name is Quinle Erickson, and I am a blind psychotherapist and coach who is very passionate about guiding people like you to transform their suffering. I use very powerful EMDR and hypnotherapy to help you achieve incredible breakthroughs in your healing and wellness journey. Wherever you are in the world, I can support you online. Take the first step to a better life today. Visit Quinle Therapy at quinle.com.
Now, if someone feels like a success has become a barrier in their love life, what advice do you give them?
Well, I would say one of the things is to really stop and reflect on what are really the priorities in your life. Because success in career, you know, those things are nice, and fame and status and reputation. But at the end of the day, you know, your loved ones are most important. It could be your spouse, your children, right? So really reassess your priorities and take actions around that. I don't know if you guys have, so there's this podcaster I've been following, the YouTuber, and it's called The Diary of the CEO. And he talked about how he realized that, you know, his girlfriend was pointing out that often he would have time for other things. And at the end of the day, she has the leftover, right? And so, like, have you made your spouse, your partner, your children, your leftover, that you put everything else in your career? By the time you get home, you sort of like tanked out. You don't have much left. And so then your partner would just get your irritation, your anger, your frustration, your tiredness, your exhaustedness, right? So really reprioritize And but not just realizing it, making action, taking actions around it, have work-life balance. So this past year, I'm a lot more conscious about spending time with my husband. You know, we go to the gym together, we do workouts, we do yoga together, we travel. We just came back from Maui a few months ago. We went to Dominican with our big family, my extended family of 12. You know, so things like that. And actually, like, I'm a lot happier. I'm a lot healthier. So it's not just, oh my God, I got to do this. I got to put in work in my relationship. It's not like that. Because when you do that, then everyone is happy as well. And actually, when you are happier, your career thrives even more. And that's the abundance mentality. The scarcity mentality is, oh, you know, time is finite, right? I got to put into my career. But actually, when you have the abundance mentality, it's like, how can I have a successful career, but also have a great family life, a great love life, and my health is even greater, right? So that's what I've really been doing this past year, is to focus on my health as well, focus on my relationships, especially my love life, and I feel a lot more holistic. I feel much more energized and that. Another thing I would say is focus on, you know, enhancing your emotional and relational skills, not just the skills in career. So it might be, you know, listen to some podcasts together about relationships, maybe go for couples counseling together, maybe go for couples retreat or workshops or something like that, right? To really, yeah, be intentional about improving your skills in relationship. Think of like your relationship is kind of like a plant. You gotta give it sunshine, give it water regularly, not just once a year, not just like 6 months, every 6 months, every day or several days a week. That plant needs water, needs sunshine. And every now and then you can, you know, give that plant some fertilizers, but it needs something regularly.
Okay, that's the advice. Water your bamboo every day.
Water the bamboo, yeah. And quality time, yes. Quality time. Not like the one where, you know, staring at the phone when wife is talking. Not that kind, right? Mm-hmm. Quality time. Actually paying attention to her or paying attention to him. Ask questions. Yeah, how do you feel about that? Mm-hmm. How do you feel about being on this show, Hans, so far?
So far, so good. You know, I have a lot to say. I have a lot of opinions that I kind of keep to myself because it's not my show.
No? Anything you want to add?
No.
No? Okay.
No, but, you know, one piece of advice, be patient. Mm. You know, so, you know, when you have someone who thinks that they're, you know, super successful and all powerful, you have to be patient with that person while you, you know, get through the relationship. So that's an important piece.
Great advice.
Yeah. For everybody, always patient.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You know, remember what you can and can't do. Now, do you think successful people need a different approach to relationships? Or are the foundations of love and intimacy universal, regardless of career achievements? So in that question, where successful people are career-oriented successful people.
Yes. Yes, that's my external success.
Right.
Okay, so the foundations of love and intimacy are actually universal. Like, say, trust, intimacy, you know, communication, being vulnerable with each other, right? So those are universal. And I find the same thing in Vietnamese culture, because I worked a lot with Vietnamese people, or in, the Western cultures, right? So those things are the same. Trust, very important, empathy, kind of thing for the other person perspective, being vulnerable, communicating, right? Those things. But there are, so in relationships where there's success, there are unique pressures, right? Like time constraints or social expectations or public scrutiny, right? So those things would be different, but the same emotional needs. So that means, what that means is then, you got to have customized strategies. So Say, for example, a man realized that he actually would need to put his girlfriend on his calendar. Got to fit that into somehow, right? Or a vacation. Make sure that have room for vacation. Right? So being a lot more intentional and not just let it fall to the side kind of thing. Work-life balance, right? Make sure you have time for your family. Don't take your children, your partners for granted. Because if you do, somebody else will come in and enjoy them for you. You know, and be aware of the power dynamics. Right, so make time for your children and be aware of the power dynamics. So appreciate your partner, right, and also listen to their input, listen to their feedback. You know, often hens would have a lot of great feedback for me because sometimes I can get kind of like tunnel vision, right? So then he would point out things that I wouldn't consider that before. Anything you want to add, Hans?
Yeah, you know, we have that discussion a bit, you know, about, you know, intimacy and different approaches to it. And, you know, Quinn and I are quite different, you know, in our approaches to, you know, what we consider to be successful, right? We both think that we're really successful. Mm-hmm. And so, but we look at each other and you know, we'd each like each other to be different in their success. Yeah. So it's fun and we have a lot of chats about that, but I'm way less externally driven to be successful because I think I feel like I've achieved a lot of a success and I can sort of ride on that for a while. Whereas Quinn still climbs, still gotta earn, grow, and do.
I really enjoy achieving goals, you know. I enjoy, and for me it's not just the external recognition, the status. Yeah, of course I have the ego. I am into that too. But you know, for me, I just love the idea of having a vision in my mind about something and then achieving them. It's just really exciting to me. And I love to learn. I love to grow. Mm-hmm. I love to challenge myself. And I think because being blind, I cannot do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So the things I feel that I can do, I want to do them. I want to do the best I can. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting to me. It's a form. It gives me dopamine and serotonin in my brain and those things.
No, that's it. You know, and like I said, in my career, I did that. I worked a lot. I had a lot of successful times. But, you know, I realized what's really important to me, you know, is just my inner peace and my being able just to master my emotions in so many ways, which I'm not perfect at by any means, but I really like how I'm able to live now. Who mm-hmm. I really like who I am.
Yeah,
and
so
that's really important.
He does bring me down to earth a little bit. And now, like, I'm learning to be more content, you know, like really enjoy what I have created, being grateful for what I have. So I'm really learning to enjoy the content and to just enjoy the inner fulfillment and not always focusing outside, externally.
Mm-hmm. You know, and about that and that power dynamic, you know, how does money play a role in these relationships, you know, for successful people, especially in that dynamic where one person considers money to be the success and the other person is, you know, well, I got enough to live. I'm okay.
Right? Yeah. So let's talk about a few dynamics. So the first dynamic is that when two people met, they were kind of equally successful in the career or something, like kind of like this, kind of like the way we were, right? Similar to the way we were when I met Hans. My career was still the very beginning, so not, you know, and so then you really have a chance to really get to know each other, and then one person would start to become more externally successful and make more money. So this can happen. So when that happens, so people first met kind of similar incomes, then one person goes up higher, right, than the other. So what can happen then is that the other person can kind of feel disempowered. The less successful one, you know, can feel disempowered. I'm talking externally now, right? Can feel disempowered. Maybe they feel invisible. Maybe they feel lonely, right? Or they feel like they don't have much say in the relationship. The other person can become, like I said earlier, you know, entitled perhaps, a lot more controlling maybe, more critical. So then emotional distance can start to occur. Also, another thing too is that because they can start to kind of go separate paths. You know, one person like shoot straight on the career path. The other person may be enjoying other things. So they may have less things to talk about. So that's how the emotional distance can occur. Or the one person who's like so workaholic and so I'm not that career successful. I'm okay, you know, but I'm not like so workaholic. But it can happen that one person can be so workaholic that they then just like don't have time, they don't have patience to talk to the partner, or just different goals, and they think, oh, she doesn't understand, or oh, he doesn't understand, right? So that can, if you imagine that emotional distance become farther and farther apart. So that's one dynamic. So then in that case, it's very important to talk regularly, you know, to be interested in each other's lives, to find some ways to have the same path again, right? Maybe some kind of shared values or shared goals together. And this is why I invite hands onto shows like this with me, so that, you know, we do things together and we have shared experiences. Right, so that's one dynamic. Another dynamic is different. So this is more where maybe the person has been single, but then they become successful, or maybe the person is divorced and they become successful, and then they meet another person, right? So they meet this person when they are already really successful and maybe even rich and wealthy. And so what can happen is their partner can start to associate them with material things, with money, with status, rather than who they really are, rather than associate them with love, right? And that can be really sad. And this is, you hear terms like gold diggers, you hear terms, what's another term for the guys? Gigolos or something?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, something like that, right? And yeah, and that's why you gotta really pay attention. Does he or she love me for who I am? Or is it because of the wonderful things I bring into his or her life? Like the money, the status, you know, or buy jewelry, expensive jewelries, or have expensive vacations, or eat expensive dinners, and da da da. And I remember when I was, before I got married, you know, I used to date someone who was quite successful. And what he did was, he didn't, what's the word? He didn't, the relationship wasn't about expensive dinners or expensive places, or he didn't buy me expensive jewelries, you know, but just like, just being simple, like do simple experiences together. You know, go to like things that are more down to earth, more affordable. And there was a lot of talking, a lot of communication. So then I didn't see him as just like a rich guy. I saw him as the person that he was, right? So I think it's really important to be mindful, because I know, especially for men, they love showing off, or, you know, showering their lovers with things. Try to be mindful about that. You want her to love you for who you are, not just, and even the who you are is a successful person, but you don't want it to be so much in the face. Of course, you can still every now and then have some expensive dinners together, but try not to have that as the forefront, right? Anything you want to add to that, Hen?
Just your vision of success and money together. Just, you know, we talk about that a lot right now. That's not quite my vision. And one of my favorite quotes is, some people are so poor, all they have is money. Uh-huh. And so that's where, happiness is so important for people like that. Like, you really got to learn how to find it regardless of the money.
Yes. And that's why I think the more successful you are externally, the more you got to really build that emotional bond. Mm-hmm. Talk to each other and be interested in each other's opinions, ideas. If you lack that emotional awareness and that those emotional skills, I would say go for therapy, go for coaching, go for couples workshop, right? Or read books, listen to podcasts, listen to YouTube videos, whatever you need to do. Like, I find that the best time we often talk is when he drives, right? When we take longer trips to go somewhere, right? We would listen to podcasts together about relationships and then talk about that. So it's not just talking about relationships when there are problems, but just talking about that in neutral ways. What do you think of that concept? Or, right? So then he or I would have a chance to say, well, I noticed that in our relationship, we could improve on this and da da da, or I find it really hard when that happened, da da da. Right? So that way the relationship is not just about material things, because it's very easy to get carried away from that. And this is what often I see, how people they meet when they were quote unquote kind of more poor. But as they become more successful, they drift apart. Or successful men or successful women really have a hard time finding true love, because there's always that doubt. Do they really love me for who I am? Or is it for the things that I have?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. And I guess that kind of plays into the issue of, infidelity in affairs and, how do affairs occur in relationships of successful people? Because you would think mm-hmm. if you're successful, an affair was most likely going to cause you a lot of unsuccessful repercussions.
Yes, right? A lot of, it could really affect your career, because if you have to split up and you got to split up the assets and, it's a mess, or lawyers and things like that can be really expensive. Okay. So affairs can happen. So imagine the successful person, like I said earlier, they can feel misunderstood. They can feel lonely. They can feel entitled and disconnected. And so and the ego starts to grow, right? So then they start to think, I deserve something better. Or, maybe now I could have a beautiful woman or a young, handsome man that makes me feel good, Right? So that sense of entitlement can start to happen. Or they just truly feel lonely. Maybe they come home and the partner is not there. Because remember, if you're so used to being workaholic, your partner comes to not rely that on you, waiting for you at home. So maybe he or she's out doing other things. And then you come home and you feel like, oh my God, I've been working all day. Come home and he or she's not even home. So then you start to become resentful, right? And so what happened is, when people feel resentful or whatever, instead of talking, they turn to something else, someone else, right? Because people don't tend to talk. They don't tend to communicate. Hey, I feel hurt when I'm out working and I come home, you're not at home, or sometimes, right? So that can happen. The other side, the less successful partner, can also feel lonely, feel unimportant, feel neglected. They can feel invisible, disempowered. For a man, he can feel emasculated. So what happened? When they feel bad, what did they look for? They look for addictions, affair, porn, or things like that. And that's why I say the more successful you are, the more you got to focus on building that emotional foundation. And it can be very hurtful. So often I see that when affairs happen, you know, one of the partners can really feel betrayed. And they can experience symptoms of PTSD as well, because they feel traumatized. You know, often we don't think of affair as PTSD, but actually after an affair, a person can experience symptoms of PTSD, like flashbacks. Right, like keep seeing like certain images of their partner being someone else in the head, having intrusive thoughts, a lot of obsessive intrusive thoughts about, you know, who she's been with, who he's been with, what they do together, what kind of sex positions they engage in, like why am I not good enough? Oh, it's just really terrible. Also nightmares, and it basically it shatters their world, right? Their world about fidelity, about loyalty. And so yeah, a lot of people have PTSD kind of like symptoms.
I think going forward, do you plan on interviewing other people, or how do you see the show growing and progressing? What's your kind of dream for the show?
Well, my dream is to, you know, share with you about different areas of success, you know, like health, more about relationships, like communication, emotional awareness, vulnerability, those things. But I also want to bring on people, other perspectives. How do they navigate? What works for them? What doesn't work for them? I really like to see that happen. So either interview experts on different topics, as well as interview other people, how they navigate themselves, not necessarily experts. So soon I'm going to interview a man who is a lawyer, and he's going to share about his mental health and success. So hopefully next show or the following show, I'm not sure. So we plan to do this every other Sunday, 2 p.m. Pacific time and 4 p.m. Central time on BBS Radio. So yeah, I'm hoping to, and if you want to come on the show and share with us your perspective, you know, your stories of success and how you navigate other areas in your life, I would love to hear from you as well. Yeah, so that's how I see how do you see yourself as a part of this show, Hans?
I'm really not sure. You know, it's your baby, so I'm here to do my thing. I'm going to support you. I'm going to help you do the best you can do with it. So
thank you very much. You know,
that's kind of the role I play, and that's what makes me happy. So
yeah, and I'm very happy that you're on the show with me, because if I talk by myself, I think I'll be very boring. And so thank you so much for tuning in. I'm looking forward to connecting with you more and more every time. So feel free to send in comments, send in questions. You can visit my website, quinle.com. So quinle.com. And you can contact me that way. I'm not sure whether you can contact me on the show link, but you can contact me that way. And this will also be on YouTube as well at Inner Bliss. So thank you, Hans, for facilitating this show with me today.
My pleasure. At this point, there's no way to contact me, and I'm okay with that. Leave that where it is.
That's right. So you can contact me. So enjoy your day and talk to you next time, connecting with you next time. Please tune in, subscribe, that will help us a lot. Subscribe and send in any questions or comments. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.